Turn with me to the book of Acts, and we start in verse 36 of chapter 2, and I read through verse 41, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Let us pray. Father, we heard your word, and we ask you that it will make an impact upon us. We may respond to it in our hearts and show it in our lives. So bless us, O Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. My focus this morning is on verse 39. "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." I like one-liners to share with you the message of a text, because one-liners are remembered. And the one-liner that I would like to share with you at this point is God's lifeline for drowning sinners. Now, if you were with me in Africa, I would say to you, the Bible says that the word is in your mouth and in your heart. So it's got to be in your mouth. So we all say together, God's lifeline for drowning sinners. And now that is memorable and you will never forget it. So that is the theme of the text. Then when you take a look at the flow of the text, we notice three components: parents, children, and outsiders. Now, the third element is it your lifeline? And then the final element is, the Apostle Peter exhorts folks to be saved from that crooked generation. So, what is the action you're going to take if it is not your lifeline? So this is what the Bible tells us. Now, I will give you the reason why I chose this message. I just came out of Colombia, South America, a Presbyterian church. And in God's providence, I asked some probing questions, and I asked them, "How many of your children leave the church?" And the pastor said, 60%. That broke my heart. And I asked them, "How many of young people are pure when they enter marriage?" And the answer was 10%. that broke my heart again. Now, there's nothing strange about our own culture. Because when I came to Sunnyvale, California in the 1960s, Orthodox Presbyterian Church, I have never asked about the impurity in preparation for marriage. But I was also told 60% of our young people disappear into the world. And when I was asked to come to a church in Denver, Colorado, the people said, we throw up our hands because 90% of our young people enter into the world. Now, there's nothing strange about it because at one time, Christianity was in charge of the United States. And now it is not. So there is something rotten in the state of Denmark. And that prompted me to share with you the lifeline for drowning sinners, parents and children and everybody outside. Now we have to nail that down. And God nailed it down in the book of Genesis. He said, I'm sorry I made you. I'm going to drown everybody except one family because there must be a future. So I tell people, if you and I had lived before the flood, God would have drowned us too. And if I would have been conceived as part of a twin with the pastor, 1 second before the flood, God would have drowned us also. So, the Bible clearly tells us that every one of us are drowning sinners. Now we need a lifeline. And that is the promise that Peter is talking about. Now many people take the promise as a reason to take it easy and to sit back in their lazy chair. I said, God promises, so I am going to observe. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is not the purpose of a promise. Every promise is given either to drowning sinners or drowning saints. The Apostle Paul says, if I may talk about sainthood, oh, wretched man that I am, I want to do what is right, but I cannot do it. So you're drowning without Jesus. You're drowning without Jesus as a wretched sinner, and you're drowning without Jesus as a wretched saint. Now, I speak in an Orthodox Presbyterian church, so I believe that I don't have to hammer that home anymore because everybody says, yes, I believe that is true. So now we're going to ask, what is the promise? What is the content of that promise? Well, then you go to the previous verse. And Peter says, repent, and you'll be forgiven of your sins, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, he also talks about baptism. All I'm going to say now, that baptism is the symbol of all three. I cannot prove that right now, but I'm more than happy to email it to you at a later time, all right? Now, Peter says three things. Repent, number one. Your sins will be forgiven, number two. And you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is number three. Now, where in the world did Peter get that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Peter knows his Bible. When everybody says you are drunk, he quotes Joel, as you know. In other words, he opened up his Bible and read it. No, because there were no Bibles. He opened up his scroll. No, because nobody was carrying a big scroll along. So it was in his mind. And then it came out of his mouth because it was in his heart. And it showed in his life. So if he knows Joel, he also, there's no doubt about it, knows everything about Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel 36 which incidentally are my life's verses, it says, I'll take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. I wash you of all your filth. And I put the Holy Spirit within you. So what is that? I'll take the heart of stone out of you. And that's what Peter says. Rend your heart and not your clothes. That's repentance. And I wash you of all your filth. That is forgiveness. And I'll put the Holy Spirit within you. And Peter says exactly the same. I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here we find, ladies and gentlemen, that you are born with a heart of stone, number one. Secondly, that you are born filthy, number two. Number three, that you are born destructive because you need the Holy Spirit to make you holy because you're ungodly without the Holy Spirit. So we have three problems. And God says, I'll give you the good news of three solutions. I'll take the heart of stone out of you. I wash you of all your filth. And I put the Holy Spirit within you. Now, the Bible never illustrates anything. Because, you know, what is an ark, mommy, daddy? Well, here's a picture that is an illustration. The Lord Jesus never does that. He always does graphic imaging. What is faith? Eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus. Now, because of the time, I cannot add any more examples for that. But when you talk about a heart of stone, what happens to me if I have a heart of stone? I would die on the spot. Ladies and gentlemen, and God says in Genesis, all the thoughts of your hearts are only evil all the time. Wow. Wow. Now, in Latin America, when you turn the wow around, you get mom. And you can say, mamma mia. All right. Wow. Did you know that when you have a little baby, it is a joyful bundle of total depravity? We like the joyful, but we have to open our eyes for the depravity. That's why you lose 60% of your young people. And there may be grieving parents and grandparents here who says, I know. Some of my children, my grandchildren, they don't know Jesus. Wherever I go, in every church, I meet parents and grandparents. And what is worse, that some of the parents and the grandparents don't even grieve. Because everything will be good in the end. And they don't take the promise of God as the lifeline. Now, if you're drowning, and you get the lifeline, you put both your arms around it. And God says, I'll take the heart of stone out of you. Awesome. And Jeremiah says that heart is so wicked that you cannot even know it. You look in the mirror. You look at yourself. You cannot even know the wickedness of that heart, as Jesus says, all the junk comes out of it. Fornication, theft, murder, slander, you name it. And to top it all off, Psalm 58 tells us that his heart looks like a cobra. Now that's graphic. That's graphic. Now the filth is no better. Isaiah says, all my righteousness are as filthy rags. Paul makes it graphic. As a Pharisee, I was the top of the line. And God would be happy to have me. When I saw Jesus, and I saw the law of God, you shall not covet. I came to the recognition that my righteousness was no better than human dung. If I may be very graphic, excrement. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're born like a cobra. You're born like human dung. And then the third element, the Bible says that I put the Holy Spirit within you to make you holy. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no possible way to be holy. Impossible. We need a Father who promises salvation. We need a Son, and I will show you, who produces that salvation on the cross and his resurrection. But we need the Holy Spirit to transport that salvation. If there's no transportation, I can promise you a Lamborghini in Italy, and you're a happy man or a happy woman because I have the promise. If there's no factory, the promise is empty. And now the Lamborghini is produced, but there's no transportation. It's still empty. You need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I say to Africa and Latin America, when I say hallelujah, you say, yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is it wrong? Because God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You'll say hallelujah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. No, not hallelujah, yeah, yeah, yeah. That shows you that you diminish the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. I begin to become alive when I have an audience like this, all right? So the Apostle James says, our life is so destructive that it resembles poison. So we are born like a cobra, we are born like human dung, and we are born like poison. That's why you lose 60% of your teenagers. Yes. Yes. That's why they are grieving parents and grandparents. Because they see them leave into the world. And they're hell-bound. And that hell-bound being in hell is so terrible. When the Lord Jesus Christ faced it, the drops of sweat turned into drops of blood. We better grieve about our children and grandchildren, if they have turned away from the Lord. So here you see it. Now, if you die, God puts you in his X-ray machine. And when he sees a cobra, and when he sees dung, and he sees poison, and you see it too, he'll ask you a simple question. Would you like to have them in your house? No way. Would you like to have them in your bedroom? No way, way. Would you like to have them in your bed? No way, way, way. He said, now you understand why I don't want you in my kingdom as you are. That's right. But is there then no hope? Well, what does Peter say to the people in Jerusalem? You must know that the same Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ. So for all practical purposes, he said to the Jews, you have cobra hearts, you kill them. You have a dung past, he is dead. You have a poisonous life, he is in the grave. That's who you are. And they were cut to the heart. I honestly believe that what somebody once said, you don't read the scripture reads you. And when the scripture reads you, I read a Bible and I'm cut to the heart most of the time. Oh, 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 oh. We read this particular passage Is he your life? Is the God's promise your lifeline? Because what is the promise saying? I'll take the heart of stone out of you. I wash you of all your filth. I put the Holy Spirit within you. And I say to the Lord, well, how do you do that? Because if you give the promise, there must be a factory. Well, go to Jesus, go to the cross. What does Jesus say on the cross? Give me your cobra heart and I'll kill it. Romans 6, crucified with him. Give me your filth to the cross and I wash it. 2 Corinthians 5. Give me your poisonous life, Hebrews 10:10, and I will eliminate it. Incidentally, when I preach the gospel, I am always very happy to tell people, I am here to exterminate you. There's nothing left, nothing. I got that from A.W. Tozer, who says a cross is a termination point. And I said, A.W. Tozer, I'm going to up the ante. It is the extermination point. If you want to take a free will in regeneration with you, or a good will in regeneration, or good works in justification, or good efforts in sanctification, those are the three elements. God says, you contaminate my kingdom with your will, with your works, with your efforts. I'm going to exterminate you. But then the resurrection, I'm going to reoriginate you. And when Jesus came out of the grave, he was raised according to 1 Peter for our regeneration, because he gave me his heart. He was raised for my justification. He gave me his righteousness. He was raised for my sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1. He gave me his holiness, and that's a lifeline. That's why Paul says, I weep over the enemies of the cross, because they prefer their cobra, they prefer their dung, and they prefer their poison. And they put all their marbles in the basket of this world. And it is their destruction. And the basket looks beautiful. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to accomplish that. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to get a fine job. I'm able to fly first class in airplanes. And I got luxuries. I got my vehicles. I got everything. Wonderful. And you know what Ecclesiastes says? Whatever hill you climb, whether it's indulgence or riches or buildings or whatever, the top of the hill is empty. Empty. You die. And I think of those tremendous baseball players like Babe Ruth. He died. Basketball players, King James VI, LeBron. He's going to die. Henry the Eighth, Ninth. He's going to die. I climb whatever hill I can. I get to the summit. I become president of the United States. I die. And I'm going to have to face the music, the shrill one, or the beautiful one. And God puts me in this X-ray machine. And he sees a cobra. Wow. And he sees dung. Wow, wow. And he sees poison. Wow, wow, wow. And then we preach the gospel. Parents, we must take that as our lifeline. Now, how does it become our lifeline? Well, the Apostle Peter is very clear. When they were cut to the heart, and many people in the church have never been cut to the heart. It's in their mind, not cut to the heart. That is why it is never in their mouth, and they never share the gospel with anybody. But if it's in your mind, it goes into your heart, it comes out of your mouth. And if parents have it, they can evangelize their children. If parents don't have it, it's what the bishop in Uganda told me, what you don't have, you cannot pass on. So the Apostle Peter says, call on the name of the Lord in repentance. Call on Jesus. Here is my heart, Jesus, kill it. Here is my past, Jesus, wash it. Here is my poison, Jesus, get rid of it. Please, on the cross, I want to be a friend of the cross. And out of the resurrection, Jesus, give me your heart. Give me your righteousness. Give me your holiness. That is the threefold title to heaven. There's no onefold title to heaven. It is a threefold. Without the heart of Jesus, incidentally, that is what regeneration is all about, a heart transplant. I cannot see or enter the kingdom. Without the righteousness of Jesus, I have no peace of the kingdom. Without holiness, I have no fellowship with the kingdom. That is the gospel of Peter. Call on the name of the Lord. And the one who transports it is the Holy Spirit. Through the arm of the preacher and the scalpel of the Word of God, he digs out your old heart. And he puts a new heart within you, and you have faith and repentance. You say, Lord, I want to get rid of the junk, and I want to believe in Jesus. And then the first thing he does is his righteousness. And when you have the heart of Jesus, you have a palace on the inside. When you're justified, you have a peace treaty with the Father. And the Holy Spirit says, now we are talking, because now I'm going to live within you. I'm not going to live in a cobra. I'm not going to live in you as long as there's still dung. But when you have the heart of Jesus and you have the righteousness of Jesus, you have the palace and the peace treaty, I'm going to live within you, and I'm going to, that is the gift of the Spirit, and I'm going to make you holy by hook or by crook if needs be. Because when I start, I'm going to finish it. Through the word of the living God. And I cannot touch about the last part of Acts 2. But when 3,000 people called on the name of the Lord, they had the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were devoted to the word, to fellowship, to the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. That's what I tell people. What is the first thing a baby does when it is born? Huh? Cry. Now, why does it cry? Well, because it enters into a new environment, I was told. I said, wait a minute. When you were born, did you say to your mom, I am in a new environment and I'm going to cry? Yeah, no. You know what a baby cries? Because it's hungry. And when you get the breast, the baby is happy. And if you are calling on the name of the Lord and you don't show up in the church next Sunday, whenever the church doors are open, you are not hungry. And if you're not hungry, I will never call you a Christian. When you call in the name of the Lord, I'll call you a hopeful Christian. Somebody taught me that 200 years ago. Because God says the tree is not good until you see the fruit. When you're devoted, you come to church. And I'll tell you, I can get tears in my eyes when I see you here. The first time I came to this church was in 1969. And when I came back, there were only 12 or 15 or 20 people. I believe you're hungry. That's why you come. And you know why you're hungry? Because you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have never heard anybody say, Peter's sermon, you are repenting, you're forgiven, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not done on television, it's not on the radio, and then out of 3,000 people who come forward in the crusade, only 5% come to the church. You know why not? Why only 5%? Because they don't preach the full gospel. Repent, forgiven, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, you bet your bottom dollar that it shows, because you're so hungry, you go to the breast of the church and you take it in, you take it in, you take it in. And you drink it in, you drink it in, you drink it in. But then you better preach right. Okay? All right? You better have a theme. You have an outline. You better say, how does it stack up in your life? And what is the action you're going to take? All right? All right? And you do that. You see, and I think you did it because your people are here. And I cannot tell you how I praise the Lord. But it's only a trickle. In the New Testament, Acts 2, it's 3,000. If you must plead with God, Lord, give us more. People are devoted. And when you're devoted, you are assured when you see the fruit. I say in Uganda, have you ever seen a mango tree? Yes. What do you do with a mango tree if there's no mangoes? You cut it down. Do you want God to cut you down? No. I say, well, when you see fruit, obedience, holiness, and you look up and say, I've been seeing a mango. Praise the Lord, I'm a good tree. And then you're productive. You're going to share it with others. And when you have the gift, then you're going to be unstoppable. Christians should be unstoppable. You know why? Because they have the promise, they have the production, but they have the transporting Holy Spirit, and they can move. And the Apostle Peter exhorts them, be saved from this crooked generation. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to conclude my message with a very simple statement. If you parents can tell me I have a threefold title to heaven. If you cannot, call on the name of the Lord. If you're not sure, call on the name of the Lord. And I remember a lady, she was 41 years old, a corporal or in the police force of South Africa. At the end of a meeting, we had going to have a song, and I was introducing the song. And she burst out of the ranks, everywhere was standing. He said, I need to be saved. I said, I talked to you after the service. No. I want to get rid of my cobra heart. I want to get rid of my dung past. I want to get rid of my poisonous life. And then I knew that it was God's gift to me because the Holy Spirit convicted him. And the Holy Spirit will never convict without convicting messages. Peter's message was convicting. He cut the heart. Stephen's message was convicting. Every time I've spoken to people, there is a young man here who is 77 years old, and I evangelized him in Sunnyvale, California, and I was rough on him from time to time. Conviction. And look here. He's a trophy of God's grace. If you're not convicted, you will not come. And the message ought to be convicting, and people come. And the lady said, I want to be saved now. I want to get rid of the three problems. Say, oh, come forward. And I'll lead you in the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to pray. Lord Jesus, here's my cobra heart, kill it. Here's my dung past, kill it. Wash it. Here's my poisonous life, Lord, get rid of it. And Lord Jesus, you're out of the grave. Please give me your heart. Give me your righteousness. Give me your holiness. And I know I told her now you're a devoted convert. And if you devote yourself to the Word and to the fellowship, and to the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. I cannot explain the details at this point. And you are going to see holiness in your life, the obedience of faith. You can be assured that you're a good tree, and you're going to tell others, and you're going to be unstoppable in doing so. So parents, that's number one. Children. Just two weeks ago, I was in Colombia, and I saw a lady there. I said, lady, are you married? And she said, yes. I said, do you have children? And she touched her tummy, and I knew what she meant. She was going to have a baby, the first one. I said, do you know that that little baby is a little cobra? It's a little dung. It's a little poison. I said, Maria, you know what you have to do every morning? Good morning, little cobra. Good morning, little dung. Good morning, little poison. And God will honor that. Because it's His Word. And when the baby is born every day, until the baby is 2 or 3 years old, they say, Mommy, why do you tell me that? Because that, Daddy, why do you tell me that? Because that is the truth. A friend of mine told his grandson, do you know why you kick your brother? trying to kick him all the time? He said, no, Grandpa, because you're a little cobra. 3 months later, he said to his dad on the way home from the church, as they were driving, Dad, may I ask you a question? Yes. What is it? How can I get rid of my cobra? And he called on the name of the Lord. And many people say, well, that's overdoing it. Now, let me really hammer it home. In my church, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so, up and down the aisle. And I asked the pastor, what do you mean by that? And can you go into the pulpit and can you say to the people, this is what I mean. God so loves monstrosities that he gave his only son. Parents love them equally and share Jesus day and night. You know what the answer was? Now let me think about it. Somebody else, that's over the top. Would you like to lose 60% of your children? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a picnic. Do you know that Satan is the greatest warfare maker in the world, in the universe? And do you know that he sucks strength out of every defeat to go faster? Why do you think we lost the Middle East? Why do you think we lost Europe? Why do you think we're losing the United States? Because we don't put an infrastructure down that is solid in the foundation. If you don't have a solid foundation, the building is going to collapse. It collapsed in the Middle East, it collapsed in Europe, it's collapsing in the United States, and it may not collapse in the church of Jesus. And if you pray like this, and you pray that the Holy Spirit will convict that little tyke, 3, 5, 6 years old, the same man said to his two other grandchildren, do you know that you have a cobra heart? No, Johnny, his brother has. I don't. His Johnny. That's the cobra heart. I am okay. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want your children to climb every hill and find it empty on the top in the day of judgment? Then share the gospel. I have a little pamphlet. I asked the pastor to multiply it and give you a copy and put it in your mouth. Lord Jesus, I call on you. Here's my cobra heart, kill it. Here is my dung pass, wash it. Here's my poisonous life. Remove it on the cross. Now I know for the first time why there needs to be a cross. And for the first time, why there needs to be a risen Savior to give me his heart, his righteousness, and his holiness. And if you do that, parents, with your family becomes a training ground for evangelism and gets you ready to go out into the world. And that is the third category. But I run out of time. All I'm going to say, that what you do in your children, and you learn it, you talk to your neighbors. And then you talk to people in the world. I have schools of evangelism all over the world. To become a fisherman in the world is not an immediate given. I'm willing to go anywhere. I've conducted hundreds of them all over the world. And I told them, you must hear the cry of the hellbound, the anguished cry of the hellbound before they get there, and plead with God that he will give you the power to talk to them before they get there and prevent them from ever getting there. And that's how I look at you. I'm honest. In an audience like this, there are always people. Maybe this is this is too small. But if you have an audience of 100, 2, 3, 4, 500, there are always people who don't even know. And when I invite them to come, they come. In Colombia, five of them. One middle-aged man, and you show his shine. Two young men. One girl who was 14 years old and she was pregnant. Another one, a 32-year-old woman who had five children by five different men. I love to preach in jail when you say to them, you have a cobra heart, you say, yes, you know we are murderers. You have a dung pass, yes, we know we are thieves. We have a poisonous life, yes, we know we have defiled a girl. They never say no. But when you come into moral people, hey, wait a minute. You come to religious people, I'm going to kill you. That was Luther's issue. Luther said to the Pope, you have a cobra heart, you have a dung pass, you have a poisonous life, and he says, kill him. If you don't want to be killed like Stephen, you will never get a success like Peter. So that's all I'm going to say about the world. All I'm going to say now, parents, is he your lifeline? Is the promise of God promised by the Father, produced by the Son, transported by the Holy Spirit, is that your lifeline? If not, call on the name of the Lord. Then train your children. The last hymn that we sang is that they will obey what God commands. He commands them to repent under the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Take it seriously. I plead with you, otherwise you'll be grieving parents and grandparents. I don't want you to lose 60% of your children. Three of my grandsons do not know Jesus. And I evangelized, but I never was graphic. And my children were not graphic. And I asked them for forgiveness, that I was not sufficiently graphic, so that they were not sufficiently graphic. And three of my grandsons, I took them with me. I said, you have three problems. Yes, yes, yes. But it was late. They were not 2, 3, 4 years old. Must make the impression. Even psychologists says by the time kids are 6 years old, they are set. Do it immediately for your life's sake, because it's your responsibility, and for their life's sake. And if you have prayer meetings together, you pray for the children of the congregation, and they're cut to the heart, and they call on the name of the Lord, as the pastor prayed this morning. For every sinner who repents, the angels throw a party. And it's a big one. May the angels throw parties for you, if they haven't done it yet, and for your children, so that you retain 100% for the glory of God and by the grace of God. Let me pray. Father God, the theme of the text is clear. A lifeline for drowning sinners. The sections of the text are clear. Parents, children, and outsiders. The cutting edge is clear. Is he your lifeline? The call to action is clear. Peter exhorts them. And so, Lord, grant that that word may burn into our hearts, like in the men's hearts on the way to Emmaus, and that we will take action by the grace of God, that this church will not lose 60% of its young people, but retain 100 of them, and that the evangelism process of the family will pay off, that we learn in the family how to go to the outside and do exactly the same. I plead with you, Lord, that you will give that to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.